Right for that, is that what we're going to be doing now? Okay, so I don't remember everything, but I was the one with the notebook, so it looks like I'm the one that's probably written most things down. But people will interrupt me, and eventually there'll be other contributions from the microphone as well. But trying to follow it through in the order in which we roughly did things, we were discussing the Foundation's conferences first of all, and in fact one thing that came out of that was maybe the word conference isn't quite the right word for what we do. We are a gathering in some way, we are family, but are we actually really a conference? So you might find eventually that the names change. Hello, am I getting some visitors coming to the front to join me?
I'm not going to leave you on your own.
Oh, thank you very much. That made it feel a lot better. Thank you. Right. So although obviously Willesley is down as a conference, isn't it? By the time we get to Foundations 9... we don't yet know whether it's going to be called conference as such, but that's just a name thing. It seems that the week-long ones, or the four-day ones, are probably the best for achieving what we really are aiming to do and some of the things that we feel we now ought to do. So certainly they're fixed in the programme, they're going to happen. And in fact, probably twice a year. Okay, there may well be a spring one and an autumn one, one up north and one down south, which means Abbott Hall and somewhere in Devon, which I can't remember the name, but you all know it better than me. So those are going to be probably our main vehicles for delivering what we feel is very much what we need to do. And that will emerge, the content of it will probably emerge as we think more about some of the things that have come out today, for instance, what David said this morning, and how we feel the Lord is leading us in terms of what we can achieve in a longer period of time. One thing that came out as very interesting is that we'll be able to give people more time to develop a gifting that they feel that they have and we can assess it. So for those of you that feel, I could do some teaching, or I could do some intercessory prayer, or I could learn to do worship, we would find opportunities for you to get alongside the people that already do this and hopefully grow in that over the period of 4 days. And that could be true in other things, creative things, dance, obviously, music, writing things, or whatever. You have a longer period of time to be sort of guided and mentored a little bit on that. That means that as a sort of payback, really, the idea of the weekends are probably going to disappear largely off the programme, because they proved the hardest ones to administer and get people to come to, and a lot of work particularly by Steve. However, from my point of view, I am interested in the fact that they could still happen if people invite us to come to them. Either some of the venues we already use or some new ones that have experienced what we do in the shorter days and then suddenly say, why can't we do that over a weekend? And they say, great, you organise it. This will be new people that will come, because they'll be based on your locality, and we'll send a team. And we'll find one of the teaching team that can come, someone to lead the worship, maybe the dancers or people they've been training up, and all the Foundation's features will happen, but without Steve tearing his hair out with getting enough people to come and getting all the money in and so on. That comes out of something that might happen somewhere that I'm going to be involved in, I hope, in the coming year, a place called Windmill Farm in Oxfordshire, where they've asked me to do some retreat days, as a sort of experiment. They haven't done this sort of thing before. And I said, yeah, I'll come and I'll do a Foundations type day. And they were very interested in that. And then I said, and if you want more or longer, I might be able to sort that out for you. So not ruling weekends out completely, but probably more importantly will be the taste of days, where we feel that people probably have to commit more to coming, give up a Saturday to come to somewhere within, 15-20 mile location radius. They have been happening, as you know, in various places, including Belfast. So if we can get more of those, we feel that will work as well. And really, this is now something for all of us to think about. Could there be a taste a day where you live, in your church or somewhere nearby? So that's one of the, here it comes, action points. Go away, think about this. Could you actually it won't be you doing it, it will be God telling you that he wants something like this to happen somewhere near to you. Okay, we discussed the whole marketing thing and realized that we don't really need to do it. They didn't do a lot of marketing in the first century early church by the looks of it. They just let God do it for them. And we decided that's far and away the better way. But actually, we're all marketeers in that sense, because if we go and say what we experience here and how well it works and so on, then people will catch the vision that way. Word of mouth seems to work as well as any other sort of fancy method. So, coming back to Foundations 9, we feel that the essence of it is probably going to be along the lines of, but how do we become more Hebraic and how do we do evangelism in a more Hebraic way? I don't know what that means yet, but it's something for us to think about, because I'm sure that's part of the challenge that's come out of today, and some of the teaching needs to be practically based upon how we, if you like, present an Hebraic Jesus without representing a Greek church. You got the difference there? Okay, and I think we know that that's what we want to do. So we'll call it Hebraic evangelism, shall we, and see if that scares people off for one word or the other, or both. Put them together, it doesn't seem to work at all, but we're used to that. So I think Foundations 9 might have at least that element to it, amongst other things. So I think that sort of covers the first hour of our discussion. But, of course, anybody was here and wants to say something I've missed or very important? If you think of something, come back to it, but I'll keep going. But okay. We'll have a panel in a minute. Okay, that's what the chairs are for. Okay, jolly good. So I can keep going. Number two was what? Well, interface with mainstream church, which we all decided was a little bit difficult at times. And collaboration with like-minded ministries. I think we need to be aware that other people are doing similar work. And firstly, we don't need to duplicate that. We don't need to interfere. We don't need to involve them in us. We just let it happen under God's leading. He's the best one to arrange things in some ways. So although we have some kind of collaboration with one or two, for instance, the Barnabas Fund, we're not looking to go out there and suddenly say, well, that person's doing the same sort of thing, or that group is, let's get together and make it work better, because the chances are we'll end up messing each other up, I suppose. But we felt we've got enough potential and talent, if you want to use that word, in our midst here to be able to cover everything that God is eventually going to ask us to do. So keep in mind what other people are doing. Recognise, I'll use my little illustration time and time again, that there's a big farm out there and we all have our own field in order to produce something for God. And that way everything goes to market in the right way at the right time and so on. But we did decide that it'd be very important that we have intercessors, people who will commit to praying. It's their gifting, it's their main thing that they want to do. And they would cover the whole of the foundation's ministry on a regular, committed basis. And I think we might be looking for, is it five or six? That sort of number. It doesn't have to be a huge group, but it's people for whom this is really on their hearts, and they can do this. And we would really like to have those people in place by the time we leave tomorrow. Okay? So either tonight or tomorrow morning, not sure which one, but we'll see how it works. We're going to sort of commission them in some way and ask them to be... By tomorrow, you've got tonight to think about it. You've got a bit of breathing space. But so that we all go away knowing that we have got a committed core group of intercessors who will cover everything that Foundations is going to do. It was then decided it might be a good idea to have people who intercede for the intercessors. And then it was realised that you can go on and on like that and it never stops. So that's sort of come back down to the fact that there is this core group of 10, it's five couples, I think, when Steve gave the names, who act as a sort of, well, we'll call it an eldership, but it's in the proper biblical New Testament covering sense, people who develop people's gifting and make sure everything's happening in order. And those 10 people will pray for the intercessors, okay, so that they can feel that they are supported in prayer. But if we keep on going like that, we'll all end up in little circles interceding for each other without covering everything very well. But anyway, so volunteers to help doing certain practical things, like, for instance, can you help organise a taste a day near to where you live? But perhaps most important of all, the intercessors who will be able to maintain a ministry there for us. We feel that we have and are able to clearly identify those of us who have some of the main functions of teaching, leading worship, and so on. And so we're not intending to use anybody from outside of what Steve has called the fold. But there are difficulties sometimes in getting other people to come and join in with what we're doing and to make it sort of gel and fit. Not impossible. It might be that someone spots someone, recognises someone and think they'd be really, really good at bringing some specialist knowledge, teaching or equipping on a particular occasion. But there are certain practical difficulties sometimes of doing that, and we don't just want to invite people in for the sake of it. There are financial reasons for that as well. So it will be mainly done from within those we already have and those that we will nurture and God will bring to us, because it's grown, hasn't it, that way, without having to have too many people from outside. And the other thing that was discussed are things that are on your sheet as Bible school, Ask the Teacher, and the Fellowship Finder, which are already in place or coming up this autumn. And I think it's best if Steve says more about that if you're interested in that, because I've got more questions and answers on that one perhaps. But I'm told it will work and work very well. And what it really means, I think, in terms of the Bible school, is that there'll be a chance for people to learn something through a regular course of study, a little bit like going to a house group, but you're doing it online or virtually or whatever it is. And if questions come in, then they can be farmed out to various people and perhaps answered by email more than direct. That's the teacher bit as well. So we might be able to do something along those lines. And the Fellowship Finder is an idea of sort of little flags on a map so you can know if there's anywhere near to you where they are in line with the aims of foundation, or people in foundations are finding fellowship there, and we might be able to give you something else local that you could join in with or indeed become part of, and spread the foundations thing that way. So I think that's what happened in those 3 and a bit hours. But there's a chance now for it to be widened out to other people. Who you want to take this microphone? Okay.
I'll sit in the middle, maybe.
Oh, you can sit for me as well.
Does anybody want to add something, anything to that?
Did you mention the Bible school?
Okay, we're going to start a pilot in a tryout of the Bible school in October. It will start off with just me, I think. We're using a software which is freely available. Anyone with anything from a PC to a mobile phone will be able to have this software, which is free. And if you register with the Bible school, probably something like on a Thursday night for 2 hours, it will be me. it's a good piece of software because I can use like a whiteboard, to sort of put bullet points, and you can ask questions. You can put your hand up and ask questions, and something that will be for around about 6 weeks and see how it goes. The software we're using, we're using the cheapest version of it, I think. So and only lets us have 30 delegates. So, you know, anyone here would, you know, we did that show of hands earlier. Are there people here that would be interested once a week for a couple of hours on their computer? No one? Well, you count as one. Oh, David, you don't need it. Right, there's a few here. So what, about half, six, seven, maybe? Well, that's a start. It doesn't have to be 30, but that's maximum. Just to say, if it works, there's every incentive of making this work, because, you know, within a year or two, the idea that we could have every teaching every day from a variety of teachers on a variety of levels and a variety of subjects, all from our perspective, will just add to what we're all about. So, you know, you don't have to wait for a conference twice a year. You've got virtually every day of the week there's some teaching there. And if you miss it, they'll be recorded and you can bring up the video afterwards. So that's the aim. No idea if it's going to work, but we'll try it. So it'll be emailed. If it's going to start, it will be probably the third week in October, and it will last like for 6 weeks, just to try it out. So there'll be more information on an email well before then. So any questions on that? Yeah. Yeah, it's called Zoom, and basically I think I can send you a link that if you click on the link, it will install Zoom onto your computer, and it goes through the whole anything from a mobile phone. I think you can actually have it on a mobile phone anywhere you are, a live video. Is that right?
iPad, iMac, Android devices, smartphones, tablets,
Mac,
PC,
there you go. What's that? I just plucked it out there. Right. What would you prefer? Wednesday?
When can you make it?
It's Thursday, 3 o'clock in the morning.
You're on your own. The reason I might get involved in this eventually is that I do a lot of small group teaching, house groups for church and things like that, of Jesus and his Jewish world. And so I've got it all sort of ready and can do it. And it'd be rather fun to try it in this sort of online, virtual, strange sort of way, with six people or eight people, not too many more, but on the other end of the computer. And it might be a chance for you to invite a friend or a neighbour to come along and, they wouldn't necessarily go to a house group or trouble where I am and say, come and learn about Jesus and his Jewish world, part one, or whatever I decide to call it. And we do this sort of hour and a half to 2 hours or so, a 6 week course, and it acts as part of the Hebraic evangelism thing, I think. So I'll tread carefully towards this, but it could well be a good way of extending what I've been doing within my church or other small groups.
Can you even get Jose involved?
Even.
Oh, especially Jose.
Can I just ask, is it a feedback software? Or
yeah. So it's two ways. We won't actually see your face.
No.
But there's a thing where you press a button and the little hand comes up, so we can choose whether to answer your question or not. Right. Okay. Any other questions? Right. Any questions on anything else? Ask the teacher. Yeah. We used to have this feature that only one person here has ever seen, called Ask the Messianic Rabbi, which is, since then, it's been copied by other ministries. But this is like 20 years ago. We had actually 20 teachers from around the world, and so at least half of them were totally heretical, but we didn't have the discernment and the time to realise that. So people used to post questions, and we used to farm them out to these 20 people to get answers, and there's some strange answers. And some of those people are still lurking around and wondering why we don't cover them anymore. But all that stuff is actually on our website. It's still on the website, apparently. David's found it. I don't remember putting it up, but it's still there, apparently. So we do get questions. So people, anyone can ask a question about anything, like, when's the end of the world, you know? And we'll have like these four all giving four different answers, you know. Jose will give the exact date, but Paul would turn it around as a question, you know, will there be an end of the world? I don't know. Yeah, there you go. So anyway, so that will come up hopefully. Okay, any other questions? Yeah. I suppose some people know, some people don't. Well, fairly soon, probably by the end of September, we'll have subscription only to Salt Shaker's website, which includes those who get the regular newsletters twice a week. To subscribe, you just need to send us your email address, basically, and the password. But there is a catch. The catch is that a screen comes up where you have four options. One option is to pay an annual subscription of £30, which is one Mars bar a week, the equivalent. So if you can sacrifice that, then you can get lots of... But the advantage of subscribing is... Firstly, you would continue to get the twice-a-week emails. You'd also be able to get to Sword online, eventually archives as well, once we get our intern sorted out, once we find an intern. Milky Ways, maybe, but it's a bit lighter, isn't it? Yeah, we did. I forgot to mention that is another requirement. It is quite a big requirement. It is to find people who can work on computers, inputting stuff and rearranging stuff. Mention an intern because it's sort of something. If we can find any young people who are trustworthy, because they will have access to our server, it'll be good. We need an army of volunteers to help us on the website because there's a lot we need to do. So anyway, going back, I forgot what the question was. What was I talking about? Oh, subscriptions. Okay, that's for the Mars bar option. The second option, say for £50 a year, they get that, plus they get a free subscription to Sword magazine, which will get posted to you, which would normally cost £30 anyway, isn't it? So, and if they pay more than that, I think another, if you pay £100, you get two subscriptions. The idea is that you send a guest subscription to someone else. And all this is, remember, is to help Sword, because subscriptions are virtually zeroed out at the moment or levelled out. So this is a way that, you know, this magazine, which looks fantastic now, and it's very much worth sending a subscription to someone that you know, because it's a really smart-looking magazine now. It always was, of course. Even smarter now. So now the fourth option is you don't have to pay anything. But there is a catch to that. if you take that option, you have to write an essay why you can't afford why you can't afford to sacrifice one Mars bar a week to get all this choice Christian content, which will also include all audios for every Foundations conference there's ever been. Again, we need some help to upload those, to stick those up on the server. And anything we would call premium content will only be able to be seen by, including like the Fellowship Finder, ask the teacher, you need to be registered. But the idea is that if you choose not to pay, that's fine. If you're broke, if you're broke, that's fine. And if you're in ministry, let's say, or third world, but... Well, that's not the right word to use, is it? Not very PC. It was the word developing world. Sorry, developing world. it's a cunning ruse to try to get some money into the ministry. You know, I don't think £30 a year is going to break too many people's banks. And it's sort of, hopefully a scale type thing. If we can get 100 people doing that, then it becomes almost a good sum of money. So that's the idea. We'll see how that works out. Those who go for the zero option and haven't got a very good excuse will be named and shamed. No, they won't. Okay. Right. Anyway, can't let someone else say something.
Hello.
I'm sure David wants the two Davids. Come on.
So the website bit. So there won't be, because I've said to numbers of people, have a look on the Salt Shaker's website, yeah, and you'll see what we're about.
Everything
so that
else.
Won't be able.
No, you can see everything else. Everything will be available, except some things. Will say it will give you a little glimpse of it, but it will say you have to.
Right.
I have to see the rest of it.
That's the sort of thing you get. Sort of thing you get if you go on like the Times website, occasionally they let you have a glimpse of something, but the rest of you. But we're probably talking about 95% of content is still free. You don't need to subscribe to, so guests can still go to it. Good. We finished. Right. Move on to the next thing. No more questions, then,
yeah? I'll say a little bit about the new
sermon.
Okay. How many of you know Michael Oakley? Have you met Michael? Yeah, good. Okay. Michael has proved to be a tremendous gift from the Lord to the ministry of Sword. At his own expense, he has redesigned the entire magazine from the ground up. And he's come up with a design that frankly blew my printer away. The printers that we use are very professional people themselves, but they were inspired by his design. What he's gone for is what he calls a text-driven design. He says that most magazines nowadays are driven by their picture content. And he had just a couple of weeks ago read a feature in which Justin Welby was looking at him from what could only have been described as cinerama, a huge picture of the Archbishop across two pages with very little text, and he had come to the conclusion that either the Archbishop had been told not to say very much for the sake of the layout, or the Archbishop had a lot less to say than we might have hoped for. And so Michael is thrilled by the content, just by the teaching content of Sword. And so he's gone for a design that is text-driven, where the pictures are subservient to the text. And they're beautiful, and he's done them as what are called in the trade duotones. It's like it's a monochrome picture, a black and white picture with a colour tone over the top of the black and white. So that each author who writes for Sword, like Steve or myself, each author has their own identifiable colour, so that as you get used to taking the magazine, you can please some of the people some of the time. He's such a prima donna, but no, we're looking forward to it immensely, and one of the things that's been quite special about working with Michael is that I discovered that he totally gets it. He quite often anticipates what I want to do in the magazine. Just a few times, just last week there, I expected to have to write captions or whatever and discovered Michael had just gone ahead and done it and done a good job of it, you know, because some people don't really know how to write captions. It's a gift in its own right to write a caption. A caption in many people's eyes is just a label that tells you what's in the picture, which is not what you want a caption for. It should stimulate some thought about some prime feature that's in the article or whatever. So Michael totally gets it. He's completely on board, and he's such a gracious guy. He's no trouble to work with at all. So he's going to be a real good addition to the team. He's also had the foresight to realize that since none of us are getting any younger, and that includes Michael, he's actually designed style sheets which are so detailed that any professional typographer or layout artist could actually take these style sheets and reproduce the magazine exactly to his specification, whether he was available to do anything for us or not. So it's been such a thorough job, and we're all actually quite thrilled and looking forward to how the magazine is going to look. Later on, I'll put the magazine on in PDF form, or at least a dummy version of it. I'll just sit my iPad at the back there, and you can have a look, get a sort of foretaste of what it might look like. Okay, thank you.
Do you know the last time we met in these circumstances when we had a number of needs, one of which was Michael, and it's amazing, isn't it, how successful a dire need that it was, wasn't it, at the time, it can be. And so here are all these potentially successful dire needs dying to come forward tomorrow, right? For all. No, but seriously, it's a body. And you're all parts of it. Ear, toe, finger, nail, whatever. You're all parts of it. And another thing I wanted to encourage you is when you go home, just positively revel in the foundation's experience compared to, you know, 1 hour on Sundays. You know? Here's an opportunity for those who've been dying to do something and cannot do it because there's no encouragement to develop, you know, those nails, those fingers, those toes, those noses. You know, they want to be active and they can't. And this is what it's all about. The truth of the word demands a body that is built by the actions of those who believe in that word. Right? So go home, rave about it, tell your friends, because that is the most effective type of marketing. Right? You know, the Spirit is in you, will be with you, and will do most amazing things. We need to be excited about our beliefs. And people need to see our excitement, because that's what changes people. God will do the rest. Don't worry about it. It's your turn.
Just to summarise those, some of those needs, they're on your Quinta Retreat paper. They're all listed down the bottom there, except the intercessors, the most important one, which came out of our discussions today. So tomorrow morning, we're hoping to identify those who, number one, are prepared to intercede, as Paul's already said, and also to identify those who feel they can stand up to the plate on any of the needs that are identified here. So it's not a question of, oh, that was interesting, we heard about that, and go away when you go home and you won't remember it till the next conference. You know, there is a dire need for people in the areas of computer admin, data entry, all of that sort of thing, all of which Steve and Monica do on their own in terms of organising and so on. You know, there is an opportunity for, it's an opportunity, it's not a problem, it's an opportunity for people who are happy to be involved, to be involved. To be involved more than just coming to conferences. Obviously, there's the need to volunteers who are prepared to organise a day conference somewhere. You provide the venue, and Steve will come along and do everything on his own if necessary. But we hope it won't be necessary, because we're hoping, as it says, to get a nationwide team of volunteers. People that you might know, people who can lead worship when you're down at the toe corner of Land's End or something, or somewhere up near Cape Ross, you know, which might be a bit difficult for our existing team to get to, you know. So people who you can enthuse to about what Foundations is about, and enthuse them and organise something yourself. So there's the need for that nationwide team of volunteers in all around the country. It doesn't normally get mentioned, but the need for finance. These conferences often only just about break even, and sometimes run at a loss, particularly if there's a surcharge been applied because numbers haven't got to where we want. And Stephen, Monica haven't got bottomless pockets, except there's perhaps nothing in the pockets. And the ministry, which is Stephen, Monica, really, it does need financial support. Your support of coming to the conferences is, of course, greatly valued and appreciated. And, of course, they always have an offering on the last morning of the conference for people to contribute towards the expenses of running the ministry and so on. I mean, there's money going out all the time. Running a website is not free. It has to be paid for. The radio station has to be paid for. And all these things we're talking about will need financing. So we need people who are prepared to be committed to either fund it or to fundraise or to in some way support the ministry. The subscription thing for the website will be a very, hopefully, painless way to start supporting the ministry. Because basically these things will have to stop happening, conferences and the website, it will all go unless there are finances to cover. Now, we don't normally talk about that. We say, well, you make your needs known to the Lord. Well, we make our needs known to the Lord, but we do want information. I'm going out on a limb here because I know Steve's not one for doing this, but I'm going on a bit of a limb here to say there is a need, and I know some of the need. We need folks really who are prepared to step up to the plate on this front as well. But tomorrow morning we won't be looking. There will be an opportunity for an offering. There's a post box there. But we'll particularly be looking tomorrow morning for those who are prepared to petition heaven. After all, our Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, doesn't he? I work for another ministry as well, which is involved in Africa, and the Africans always look to the West for support. And one of the things we teach them is, well, our Father is your Father. We get them to pray and find resources from within Africa, and things often happen. They have a word in Africa. How's something going to happen? Somehow. You ask them, how are you going to do this? They say, oh, somehow. And there's always this somehow, but behind the somehow is often looking to the West. Well, our Father is their Father is our Father. And it's the same with the ministry. Steve's Father is your Father, and he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I saw a sign in another ministry somewhere which said, the Lord has given the church all the money it needs. Unfortunately, most of it is still in the wallets of the members. So I haven't been told to say this. Steve had no idea I was going to say. I hope you're not embarrassing you. But we need to be aware of the need for practical support as well as. But so tomorrow there will be an opportunity for an offering. But tomorrow there will be the opportunity to stand up and say, I want to be counted in on this ministry in one way or another, particularly the need for intercessors, particularly the need for those who are going to be involved practically, and the core team and others who feel called to it will actually pray over you and commit you in prayer and making a statement before the Lord of commitment to this ministry. Otherwise, what we enjoy will simply not happen. And then where will we be? We'll be back where we were before Foundations 1, which I never came to. But so.